We're going to teach on faith tonight. Hallelujah. So you can be turning to Romans 10. Faith is especially so important with what we do here on the Sunday night service. We know this is not a typical, normal, everyday church service. This is one where we call it calling in the lost. Maybe if Dave would have had this revelation earlier, we would have called it a place called done. Amen. You know, because it's the same principle. But really, it's the faith principle. It goes all the way back to Abraham, calling those things that be not as though they were until they are. We're going to look at some of that again tonight. And you know what? The Lord has me, I don't know what you guys are doing, but the Lord has me going back and studying the ABCs of faith right now. Listen, you got to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, I know there's been some abuses with those verses. Like, you know, they'll take it over and hook your flesh with it and say, well, see, what that means is God wants you to have 6 Cadillac cars in the driveway and a big old mansion, and you need to have a different color Cadillac for every day of the week. Well, that's phooey. What you need to have faith for is that you're saved, that you can walk a righteous, holy life because you can. How do you know you can? Because God's Word says we can. If the devil attacks you with sickness, you can be healed. If he attacks one of your friends or relatives with sickness, you can get them healed. See, faith, have you found Romans 10? Faith comes by hearing. Here it is. The verse we're after, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I'm going to put something in there right now. Just, I'll tell you how it doesn't come. Faith doesn't always come by hearing preachers. They killed faith in me growing up. They killed what God calls faith. Preaching stuff to me that just flat wasn't so. They'd say the day of miracles is past and tongues is of the devil, and we don't. I remember specifically raising my hand one time in Sunday school. See, the difference between me and a lot of the others, I'd go home and read my Bible. As a little boy, I remember going and reading it. I'd read it and I'd see the miracles, and I saw what Jesus said then, the works that I do shall you do also. I saw it then, so I asked them. I said, how come we don't see these same things today? You know what they told, and specifically regarding healing. I still remember. Oh, they didn't have medicine, modern medicine, like we have now. Can you imagine saying this to a kid about 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old? To me, they're the authority. They're supposed to know. Oh, they didn't have medicine and doctors like we have now. So we just don't need the healing miracles anymore. Tell that to somebody who's been given 6 months to live with cancer.
Oh, come on.
You know, tell that to someone with the AIDS thing, and you know, come on. From God's point of view, our quote modern medicine is about one step above the witch doctor.
Oh, come on.
In my opinion, you got to have more faith to go to a hospital than to stand and believe God. I'm telling you, you got to have faith to get out of there.
It's the truth. Jesus, have mercy.
That's where... And that... some people here work at hospitals.
They know it's true.
Well, not because everything's not in their hands. One little mistake, one little thing, one little misprescription, one little miscommunication, and you're dead. I'd rather trust God. Hallelujah. But I'm getting the white hanky, so I'm preaching good already here now. But I wasn't always like that. They taught me that all that stuff had passed away, tongues had passed away, miracles, gifts of healings and working of miracles had passed away. You know, you can't hardly fool kids. As I got a little older, I remember thinking these thoughts, well, if all that's passed away, how do I know salvation hadn't passed away? How do I know that hadn't passed away? The point there is, faith doesn't always come by listening to Christian TV. Faith doesn't always come by reading Christian books. Faith doesn't always, faith comes one way and one way only. You got to hear what God said. You got to hear what God said, and I'll go one step further. You can't live on somebody else's faith. You got to develop your own faith with God. You got to have a relationship with Him yourself. And what I mean with that starts with His written Word. Amen. You got to find out what He said. See, I remember going through the dilemma in my own mind. I mean, every pastor that I grew up under my whole life told me that tongues was of the devil, passed away. Anybody that spoke in it now obviously was doing it by the power of the devil because tongues had passed away. When I do that on the tape, people from Zimbabwe go, "What is that on there? What is that?" I try to remember not to do that. And I remember going through it. Okay, the preacher, every preacher, you know, we moved every 6 months, so I had a lot of preachers to think about, you know, but they all taught the same on that. And so then I start studying the Word of God myself. Well, the young man that led us to the Lord, led Sue and I to the Lord, he was one of them tongue talkers. And the funny thing is, anytime I ever saw anybody pray with any power or any kind of real fruit of the Spirit, or where something happened, like we saw a devil get cast out, without fail, all of them always spoke with other tongues. You know, but yet, I never saw, one thing I guarantee you, the church I grew up in as a child, I never saw one devil cast out. Not once. I never saw no miracle. I never saw anybody healed. Yet, I'm not saying they didn't love God. They did love God. And they had the part of the gospel that they preached.
Yep.
They preached salvation, and you could receive salvation. But that's as far as you could go. But I remember this young man that led us to the Lord, I don't know what to think. He's really a nice guy. I can tell he loves God. Good things happen when he prays. But a guy speaks in tongues. Is that right or is that wrong? See, if it's of the devil, I don't want to go to hell over tongues. You know? I didn't know. So I remember studying. I started going through it myself. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Book of Acts, and reading it all myself, you know. And I started finding out what Jesus said. Well, Jesus said, in my name, those that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Huh. Huh. And then I find Peter on the day of Pentecost, this Acts 2:4, where these tongues began. And then Peter says at the end of his sermon, this same thing that you saw with us, this promise of the Father, it's to all who believe. Thought that was interesting. Then we come down to Paul. You know, of course, they absolutely forbid tongues in the church I grew up in. Boy, if you want to get the left foot of fellowship real quick, just start speaking in other tongues there. But yet Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And then he says, I would that you all spake with tongues. And as if that wasn't good enough, at the end he says, forbid not to speak with other tongues. Well, see, now this is how faith comes. I haven't got off the subject. This is how faith comes. I've got to make a decision now. Who is right? I've got my denominational pastor saying, tongues has passed away, tongues is of the devil, tongues is not for you, Gary. Then I've got Jesus himself saying, if you're a believer, you'll speak with new tongues. Then I've got Paul over here, well, Peter then saying, well, and that's for everybody who ever believes, for you and your generations, to as many as God shall call. Then I have Paul over here saying, he does it. He wants us to do it. And by the way, don't forbid anybody to do it. I got to make a choice. Do I go with the pastors? Do I go with Jesus and Paul? Pastors, Jesus and Paul and Peter. Let's see. Let me pray about this. Oh, I'm going to go with Jesus and Peter and Paul. I just figure they know a bit more about it than those pastors. See? And I remember the prayer still yet. At the end of that, I said, well, Lord, it looks to me like this is something that you probably really want us to have, but I still remember it. Lord, if tongues is something that you don't want me to have, see, at least I was a candidate now, keep me far from it. But Lord, if it's something that you want me to have, please make sure I get it. Within a week, I was speaking in other tongues.
Yeah.
See, but I had to... But that never would have happened had I not opened that place up in me to receive from the Lord. I could be preaching the error still to this day. Why? Relying on the gospel of man instead of relying upon the gospel of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What matters is what did God say about it. Well, here at Calling in the Lost, what we do here, we're going all the way back to the faith of Abraham. Be turning over now. You're in Romans. Go back to Romans 4, I believe it is. Abraham had to learn what faith is, and he's called the father of faith to all who believe. Those of the circumcision, those of the uncircumcision. In other words, Jew and Gentile alike. Y'all do know that he mentions that here, that Abraham was uncircumcised when he was called. In other words, he wasn't called because he was a Jew. He was called because he was a man who had believed God. Abraham was justified by faith. Why? He believed what God said. Faith comes by hearing. Oh, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to believe what God said. Let me say it this way. I like it. I just saw this one again. We've been going back to Genesis a lot this week. Okay, y'all ready for this? What had God said about the tree in the garden? Of all the trees you can eat of it, just not that one, right? Okay, so here comes the devil. Did God say? Now here comes the enemy of God's word. Did God say? He's going to find out what you know. Yeah? Did he say you could eat or not eat of all these trees? Well, she did it partially right. She said, well, he said we could eat of all the trees. We could eat the fruit of all the trees except this one. And that one, we're not supposed to eat of it. Now, I don't know whether Adam told her this part or she just came up with it herself. She said, we're not supposed to eat of it, not even touch it. God didn't say that. But still yet, if she'd have followed through with that, she'd have been okay, still. He said, if we eat of that fruit of that tree, we shall die. What did the enemy say? He flat contradicted it. Thou shalt not surely die. Now here we have a direct contradiction to the Word of God. Then he starts with her, he starts really slandering God's motives. Now the real reason, now you won't die, the real reason that he doesn't want you to eat of that tree, now I'm going to paraphrase it a little. He said, no, he knows in the day you eat thereof, you'll become like God yourself and you'll know good from evil yourself. Modern English, that was the first humanistic message ever taught. Now you'll be able to decide for yourself what's right and wrong. You won't have to listen to him tell you what. He just wants to keep you under his thumb. He doesn't want you to be free. He convinced her too, but sin isn't laid to her charge because it says she was deceived. He flat deceived her. She ate of the fruit, whatever it was. Then it says she turned and gave some to her husband who was with her. He was standing right there the whole time. Adam was sent to keep and dress the garden. He should have used the authority that God had given him with dominion. He should have run that snake off. Why in the world he kept letting that devil keep talking to his wife? He should have just run that rascal off. But he didn't. And then watch this. See, Eve was deceived. But Adam's watching her. He knows what God said. Well, now God said, in the day you eat of it, you're going to die. So what happened? She ate of it. He's watching her. Expecting any moment. Splat. Ow! She's going to die. And he watches. And he watches. He is moved by what he sees. And he comes to a decision. All right, God said we would surely die. But the physical evidence that I see tells me God's word is not true. Now, the devil said we could eat of it and not die. Apparently, the word of Satan is true. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to disobey what God said. And I'm going to do what this one said over here. See, that's the opposite of faith. The just shall live by faith. Live by faith and not by sight. Well, living by sight, or you could say lack of faith in God's word, living by sight, that was the door out of the garden. That's what caused Adam and Eve's fall. That's what got them out of the perfection that they were created in. That's why in our generation and every generation since, the only way back into the garden, can I say it that way, back into the blessings of God, back into all of His provision, if lack of faith was the door out, guess what? Faith in God's Word is the only door back in. That is why it has to be by faith. Has to be by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. There's no way back into His provision. There's no way back into His blessing. There's no way back into His healing. You can't even be saved without it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. All right. Well, let's look at Abraham for a minute. In fact, yeah, here's that. Let's pick it up in Romans 4, starting in verse 9. It says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Well, how was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, Abraham was just another pagan. There was no Jewry yet. There was no Hebrew nation. There was just Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. From where he came from, they worshipped the moon. You know? Now later on he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith with which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk, I love this phrase, who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. We want to walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Let's see some things about those steps. Let's look at some of those steps here real quick. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Why? To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I said all that to get to this verse. Did you get all that? I like to do it in context anymore. I want you to understand what's going on, see? It says, as it is written, I have... Now, here's the promise. This is the specific promise that's being talked about here. This is the promise that Abraham had to believe when he had no evidence. In fact, he had lots of physical evidence, all right. He had lots of physical evidence that what God was about to say to him was impossible. That's usually what your situation is, too. As it is written, here's the promise. Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston. I have made thee a father of many nations. All right, stop for a minute. When God said that to him, how many children did Abraham have? For benefit of the tape, there are people here. How many? Yeah, thank you. Here you are, your whole life, you've wanted to have children, you married a beautiful woman. Sarah was really known for her beauty. And they've tried to have kids their whole life. They wanted to have children, tried for their whole lifetime. I don't know how long they were married. They're nomads. They move around in tents and things. But if you'll allow me, as if they had a baby crib that they carried with them all the time, hoping for the day when they would have a child. For all their married life, all they've had is one vision. And that's an empty baby crib. And now, at this time in history, you know, they're kind of at the end of, getting near the end of life. They're 99 years old, about 100 years old. 99. And God says, you're going to have a baby now. I'm going to have a baby now. You got one wrinkled old prune snuggled up to another wrinkled old prune, you know. It plainly tells us with Sarah that she was past the time of the way of women. Meaning she was past that cycle of life. She wasn't even producing any eggs to be fertilized anymore. We know a little bit about Abraham too. The Bible is very genteel, PG rating. But it tells us a lot, because when God said that about them having a baby at age 99, she laughs. And she says, yeah, right. I'm going to have pleasure from my husband again. Abraham himself wasn't such a hot rod anymore. Now, years before that, he had gone in to the handmaiden, remember? And he was more of a hot rod then. But by now, Sarah's going, basically, this deal's over. And God comes, see? Now, you talk about faith right in the middle of impossible circumstances. If they're going to look anywhere except at God's Word, amen, this is not going to happen. God comes and He says, and notice how God does it. I have, past tense, I have made thee. That's why you're sick with every symptom. I mean, hurting, everything hurts, eyelids hurt, everything hurts. He says, don't touch me. Where doesn't it hurt? Everything hurts. My nostrils hurt, everything. Your circumstances are so bad. And God says, if you listen, He says, by His stripes ye were healed. Same thing as here. I have made thee. Like it's already done. See, God calls those things that be not as though they are. Were. Alright? Now, if we really went back, which we've done this many times, if we really went back and studied how God did this, God had to change the image on the inside. Remember, for all these years, failure. No baby. Tried. Even when they were young and beautiful, no baby. Now he comes and he says, at age 99, you're going to have a baby. See, faith, if we could go to Hebrews right now, 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Well, what's not seen? The baby. Okay? But there, hope has everything to do with your image. It has everything to do with what you see on the inside of you, see? Well, all they had seen for all their married life was an empty baby crib. God had to change that. He knew if He didn't change that, this isn't going to happen. So what does He do? We could go back and look at it again, but He takes him out and He says, I want you to go out and look at the stars. Just look at the stars on in a desert at night where there's no city lights. Man, there's stars. You know, I've been in Arizona. I pulled over on the truck more than once because I was right out in the middle in between big cities at night. I had to stop. I got out, turned off the headlights, and just stood there. Something in you wants to reach up and see if you can touch them. I mean, it looks like diamonds out on black velvet. You know, it just, you've never seen so many stars. And I'm sure that's the way it had to look to Abraham. He's looking up. Get a vision, he's saying. Get a hope. Get a hope. Your children are going to number like the stars of heaven. All right? Well, that's good at the nighttime. I got something to look at. But boy, what about the daytime? He takes him out during the daytime. No, they live in the desert. He says, all this sand here. Can you count these grains of sand? How would you guys like the assignment of counting all the grains of sand in any desert? Abraham goes, I can't count all of those. He said, get a vision. Your children are going to number like the grains of this sand. He's changing his hope. This is what faith is. See, faith is not hope and hope is not faith, but you can't have one without the other. You can't belittle hope. You need a vision. For years I preached. Harped, begged, anything, trying to get people just to confess the word if they were sick. One of my best friends, I was trying to get him, he had cancer really bad, and I'd get him to confess the word, and I finally got him confessing it, at least when I was with him. I don't know what he said when I wasn't with him. But I knew he wasn't going to make it. Because I'd get him confessing God's word, but I also found out he was making funeral arrangements. Well, what image did he really have? He's going to die. And I couldn't really understand that for years until God began really dealing with me on the subject of hope. A good series that we have at the website is called The God of Hope. The God of Hope. I highly recommend that series to you. Sometimes your hope has been so destroyed, you've got to work at it to get that hope restored in your own mind. Because without it, faith has nothing to give substance to. So I found out that just getting them to confess the word alone is not, that's not the total package. They got to have an image on the inside that they're going to come off of that bed. I usually ask them now, what did you used to like to do? Did you like to go fishing? Did you like to go swimming? Did you like to go snow skiing? And if they say, you know, well, snow skiing. I used to love to go snow skiing. Here they are in the bed, ICU, got oxygen and, you know, little tubes in their nose, and it looks like it's about over, you know. And I'll tell them, I'll say, you need to see yourself going skiing again. Tell it to me. Are you going skiing again? Well, I certainly hope so. You're going to die. Stop that. What do you mean you certainly hope so? You got to get an image of you coming off of this bed.
That's right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You got to see yourself well. See your marriage put back together. See your child with its miracle. See hope. Now, hope is not faith. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, these three things are going to abide forever. Faith, hope, and love. Now, love is not hope. Hope is not love. Faith is not either one of those things. But love can't do what faith can. But I got news for you. Faith without hope will never have any end result. Faith and hope have to work together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay? So God worked on Abraham's hope first. First, He changed his image. Then He comes and changed his name. I know I've been saying Abraham the whole time, but really his name was Abram. So finally, after God got him thinking on the hope and seeing the hope and visualizing Now, this is, you know, they're going to happen. In other words, quit looking at yourself in the mirror. Quit looking at the impossibilities. Quit looking at your wife's impossibilities. Quit looking at all these impossibilities. Look at what I tell you to look at. Because I want to build an image. And then he changes his name. Doesn't he change it? He says, you shall no more be called. This is when it happened. You shall no more be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham. So from that point on, every time that Abraham says his name, he is confirming God's word. Who are you? I am the father of a multitude. That's what Abraham means. I am the father of a multitude. Someone might say to him, maybe, you know, I know I've done this before, but it's good for you. Let's say him and Sarah decided to go visit their neighbor that lives three dunes over. Three sand dunes over in the desert. We haven't been over there and seen them in about a year. Let's go visit so-and-so. They just live three dunes over. So here they go across the sand dunes and they're going over. And his friend sees them coming. Hey, well, here comes Abram. What was her name originally? Sarai. Sarai. Here comes Abram and Sarai. So when they get there, you know, him and his wife come out. Hey, Abram, how you been doing? Haven't seen you in a while. He said, well, we come to visit you, and oh, by the way, I got to tell you something. My name is no longer Abram. See, what would y'all think if I come in here and said my name is no longer Gary? Well, that's the same reaction. That's the same reaction that his friend would have. You know, I've known you for 50 years. What do you mean your name's not Abram? No, my name is not Abram. Really? What is your name now? And see, and they knew that these names carried meaning, you know. Who are you now? I am the father of a multitude. And this guy's known him for 40 years out there. Looked around. No children on the camels behind. He says, okay, the old man's been working out without his turban. You know, been out in the sun without the turban or whatever they wear. I don't know exactly without his head covering. Been working out in the sun again. And he's 99 years old here. You know. So he asked him. Here it comes. I love this part. Who told you that you're now the father of a multitude? Here it comes. You ready? God told me. And the friend goes, oh, okay. Oh. See? Isn't that about the same reaction you have?
Yes.
Isn't that about the reaction they give you when you go around saying, I'm a new creature? Did you know, by the way, What if you start really getting extreme and you say, I'm not a member of the species of Adam anymore? Who told you? But that's what faith is, see? Faith believes what God says. Abram believed God. That's why it's accounted unto him for righteousness. And he didn't try and work for it. He just believed it. He just believed it. But he had to learn some things about God. We're still in Romans 4:17. Here's the promise. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Now, here's two things that Abraham had to learn about God. Number one, God quickens the dead. See, and for Abraham, what that meant at that moment, could God quicken his mortal body? Yeah. And the body of his wife, who wasn't even producing eggs anymore. Can God quicken our mortal bodies? See, if you're in a fight for your life, if you're in a fight of sickness, and you're just, you know, you're in the ICU, and the doctors are all negative, can He change your body?
Hallelujah.
Can He quicken you from the dead? Do you have faith for that or not? Well, I don't know if I do or not. Get in the Word till you do.
That's right.
Get in the Word till you do. We have there's a lot of things you can do to work on the part of you that doesn't believe until you do believe. And one of them is confession. Saying what God said no matter the contrary circumstances. For example, he had to learn first that God could quicken the dead. And here's something else he had to learn about God. God calls those things which be not as though they were. He just got through showing us an example. What be not is, they have no children. But God says, I have, let me read it again, I have, past tense, made thee a father of many nations. This is the way faith works every time. Your circumstances are nearly always impossible. And you find out what God says, either from His Word, or He'll talk to you. You know, you'll get a word from Him. Alright? Whatever it is, you got a choice. Same choice Adam had in the garden. Same choice. Alright? This looks impossible. For me to believe God's Word goes against everything that I see, everything that I hear. All my physical senses are telling me that what God is saying is not true and cannot happen. I have a choice to make. Am I going to live by sight? Or am I going to live by faith? Am I going to live by sight? Well, if you're going to live by faith, whatever it is, if it was sickness, you got to see yourself coming off the bed and you got to start saying with your mouth, I am healed. By His stripes I was healed, therefore I am healed. And all that talk about is, all that talk, why won't God heal me? That's all the devil, every bit of it. Every bit of it, every time. It is the voice of doubt and unbelief. God's Word never changes. As far as He's concerned, He's already healed you 2,000 years ago when Jesus bore your sickness and carried your pain. I'm preaching to the choir. Hey, I have to do this same thing. Those of you that were around here know that about a couple of years ago, the devil had so attacked my back and my hip, I could hardly walk. I looked like a 100-year-old man walking around here myself. And I was having the wrong image. I had the wrong picture. I was absolutely seeing myself headed towards a hip replacement and no condemnation or anything if you have one. But I wasn't speaking right. I wasn't talking right. I wasn't doing my own message. Thank God for a wife that hears God. And, you know, in love but with firmness. One day, after I'd said some wonderfully powerful thing like, my back is killing me. Man, if this keeps on, I think I'm going to be in a wheelchair. I think I'm headed for it. I was saying all kinds of real powerful, wonderful things like that. Agreeing with the circumstances. And with firmness, but in love. She's put her little finger right out towards my nose. Thank God for her back there. Thank God. And said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair and steal the whole rest of your ministry. Boy, it was like a wet towel right across the face. Smack, smack. Shook me. And it wasn't until that moment that it dawned on me that this was an attack and that I had just been letting my mouth run with the circumstances. I had just been reinforcing with what I was saying every circumstance that was coming on me. Boy, did I change. She can tell you that I changed. The circumstances, did they change? Yeah, they got worse. They really did. It continued going worse because I had a lot of momentum going that way. You know, you don't change a Queen Mary on a dime. Now, James will tell you, you can turn a big ship with a little rudder. That rudder is your tongue. But you get a big ship like the Queen Mary going in a certain direction, you can change that rudder, but that rascal don't turn on a dime. It takes a while for that thing to turn. Well, it takes a while for your circumstances to change, too. But I mean, it got so bad, I'd have to crawl on all fours, just from the couch to the bathroom. You know? But by this point now, I'm back at war. And I'd be crawling on all fours. I worship You, Jesus. I thank You that by Your stripes I was healed. Hip, listen to me. You're normal. I call You normal. Back pain, I command You to go in Jesus' name. And I will go to Korea again. Remember, I will preach in other countries again. You're a liar, devil. I'm not going to no wheelchair. On and I'm crawling on all fours. Crawling. Did it change? Yeah, it got worse for a while. How many of you know I'm leaving next Saturday for Korea again? Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, see? Hallelujah. That's what faith is. You got to get an image. You got to have hope. Something that faith can give substance to. And even that comes from God's Word. But then, faith has two parts, not just one. You've got to believe in the heart and say with the mouth. Remember Abram. That's what we do on Calling in the Lost. Every statement that we're going to say here tonight, everything that we say, these are things either directly from God's Word or they're things that God has spoken through mostly Pastor Dave For example, how many times has Dave said over the years, 1,000 people are born again at the prayer center every week? We know that is a mandate from God. That's a minimum, like what He wants. Are we seeing that right now? No. But is that what God wants? Yes. So let's use the faith of Abraham. Let's see it on the inside and let's say it with our mouth. We thank You that a minimum of 1,000 people are born again every week at the family of the prayer center. On and on and on, every statement. That's what faith is. Faith has two parts, not just one. But let's finish this up here a little bit. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. Boy, now that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? See, there's a negative hope, and there's hope that comes from God's Word. It says, who against hope, what that means there, in the natural there was no hope. In the natural there was no hope for 99-year-old people, and the woman's already passed the way of women. There's no hope. Against that kind of hope, Abraham believed in hope. Where did that hope come from? That hope came from God's Word. Who against that worldly hope believed in hope, what God said, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now when it says considers not, he knew how old he was. But he's going, I'm not going by that evidence. I know I'm 99. I know it's past the way of women with her. I know I'm not such a hot rod like I used to be. But God quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So right in the face of all that, I'm not considering that as my evidence. I'm considering what God said, I am the father of a multitude. You would say, by His stripes I am healed. When it comes to calling in the lost, Father, I prayed for Aunt Susie to get saved. I know You heard me when I prayed. I've delivered her to You in that place called Dunn. Father, as far as I'm concerned, she's saved. I'm already thanking You for it. Same thing. Same thing. Okay. So verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Did y'all get anything out of that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. The ABCs of faith, see? The ABCs of faith. I'm telling you, you've got to have this foundation. I thank God that in 1990, when the enemy attacked my body with cancer and I was given 6 months to live, now that was before we knew there was a Dave Roberson, that he had a church or anything. We'd never heard this message, and I thank God for this message. But all we had was the ABCs of faith. That was the foundation that we grew up on. I thank God for that.
Yes.
At least we knew how to attack cancer. At least at that point, you know, if I'd have still been listening to the preachers I grew up under, they'd have been trying to convince me that that might be the will of God.
Right.
Thank God we learned that much. You know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, you don't see Jesus going around putting cancer on nobody.
No.
For crying out loud. Had that much sense. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we need that foundation of faith. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's finances. What the enemy's doing right now. Finances. I don't care if it's your marriage. I don't care if it's your children. I don't care what it is. Find out what God said about it. That's how faith comes. Find out what God said about it. You go with God and you'll get your miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, that's enough for tonight.